Listen to these words from the letter to the Romans. Consequently, friends, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption, through which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Now let's join together in our affirmation of faith. We are God's work of art. Each one of us is a precious gem, a marvelous melody, a potter's delight. We are God's handiwork, woven together in love, shaped with infinite compassion, painted with incredible beauty. We are the Church of Jesus Christ, diverse in human qualities, but united in our call to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are the body of Christ, living in his truth, sharing his peace, carrying his hope, embodying his love throughout the world he loves so much. We are here to be reminded once more of who we are, whose we are, and what our lives are about. We are here to be uplifted, renewed, and empowered to live out the miracle of who we are by the power of God working in and among us. We open ourselves to God, who makes all things new.
Our focus scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to Mark, this second chapter, verses, 23, and then through the third chapter, verse 6. A couple stories about Jesus. Pay close attention to the words of these stories. Jesus was walking through some wheat fields on a Sabbath. As his disciples walked along with him, they began to pick the heads of wheat. So the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, it is against our law for your disciples to do that on the Sabbath." Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did that time when he needed something to eat? He and his men were hungry, so he went into the house of God and ate the bread offered to God. This happened when Abiathar was the high priest. According to our law, only the priest may eat this bread. But David ate it, and even gave some of it to his men." And Jesus concluded, "The Sabbath was made for the good of human beings. Human beings were not made for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Then Jesus went back to the synagogue, where there was a man who had a paralyzed hand. Some people were there who wanted to accuse Jesus of doing wrong, so they watched him closely to see whether he would cure the man on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man, "Come up here to the front." Then he asked the people, "What does our law allow us to do on the Sabbath? To help or to harm? To save someone's life or to destroy it?" But they did not say a thing. Jesus was angry as he looked around at them. But at the same time, he felt sorry for them because they were so stubborn and so wrong. Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and it became well again. So the Pharisees left the synagogue and met at once with some members of Herod's party. And they made plans to kill Jesus. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. Back in the day, way back in the day, when I was growing up in Webster City, Iowa, you won't hold that against me, will you? When I was growing up in Webster City, Iowa, on Sundays, almost everything came to a halt. Almost every store was closed. People took the day off. And if I remember correctly, the gas stations in town had this rotating schedule about which one would be open on Sunday. Now, you may think, yeah, this is just some old guy reminiscing about how good things are and how terrible things are now, right? Not at all. Believe me, things are much better now. The good old days weren't all that good. Yeah, there were some good things, but they weren't perfect. We're much better off today. But as we all know, no matter what point in our life's journey we are, things change. And Sundays have changed from, well, I won't say how many years ago, to how things are today. Back when I was growing up, Sunday was also known as the Sabbath. You ever use that word? That's not a common word that we use today. Nobody says Sabbath, except pastors. The seventh day of the week. I looked it up in the dictionary. It's the Sabbath. Now, it's Saturday for our Jewish brothers and sisters and some of our Christian brothers and sisters. It's Sunday for the rest of the Christians. But really, Sabbath is any day, that is a day of rest and or prayer. And boy, do we need rest. I don't think there's anyone here this morning. Maybe there is, and we can talk about that, but life is faster paced today than it's ever been before, right? We have so much to do and so little time to do it in. We overschedule ourselves and still try to squeeze it all into the time that we have in a day. Trying to get everything done. I know I'm guilty of that. I always schedule more things in the day that I'm gonna do than I get done. And we need to rest because when we don't, we get stressed. We get grumpy. We snap at one another, right? I do. And then there are our brothers and sisters in Europe. I was online this last week reading some news articles, and I read one about the things that our European brothers and sisters think we do that are strange. And a couple of them are that they think we work too many hours and take too few vacations, too little time off. I think they're right. I know they're right. So, whatever you do this summer, wherever you go this summer, whatever you have planned, whatever is on your schedule for this summer, and let's take it way beyond into the fall and for the rest of your lives, remember to Sabbath. Remember to take some time to rest and recharge close up your calendar, shut off the calendar on your smartphone, ignore it for a while. It's refreshing and wonderful. It's hard, but it can be done. And just take a deep breath and relax. It will work wonders for each and every one of us. There's precedence for that, you know. We find that in the Bible. Genesis 1, the first creation story. You know the one. God creates the world, and on the seventh day, God rests. God invented the Sabbath. Thank you, God. Now, we can get all caught up in whether that seventh day was Sunday or not. You know what? Doesn't matter. Just so one takes time off to take a break. Jesus took time off, too. Every once in a while, Jesus got burned out and he had to go just take a breather. Get away from it all. If Jesus would have had a smartphone, he'd have shut the thing off. Put it as far away from as possible. He would have closed his calendar. Wouldn't have given a thought to what they had to do next. And just chilled for a bit. And then, of course, there's that fifth commandment, right? The Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Think of holy as translated other. Keep your Sabbath day, whatever day it is, whatever time you have, other than what you normally do and think and pursue. The story that we shared this morning with Jesus and his disciples, that, well, Jesus broke the Sabbath. At least according to the Pharisees or the people of his time, the law of his time, you weren't supposed to do anything on the Sabbath day. For our Jewish brothers and sisters, the Sabbath begins on Friday evening at sundown, and it goes until Saturday evening at sundown. You weren't supposed to do anything, nothing. You weren't supposed to cook, clean, feed your pets. That was the law. And it still is in some places. I just read a story this week about a gentleman who moved to a new community, and he mowed his lawn on Sunday, and the police stopped by to say hello and asked him to stop mowing his lawn because it was against the law on Sunday to do that. And if he didn't stop, he was going to get a ticket. Okay, we laugh at that. We think that's funny. We think that Jewish law of the Sabbath is a little bit strange, a little bit odd. But observing the Sabbath in that way can get us in as much trouble, cause us as much stress, as if we observe it differently or at a different time. You see, Sabbath is a noun when we talk about a day, but it's also a verb. It's something we do. And as we're told in the scripture we shared this morning, it's for our own good. It really is. It's for our own well-being that we take a break. It's for our own well-being that we take some time just to relax and recharge. But notice something else. Did you notice in this piece we shared this morning that there's two meanings for Sabbath? Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. He wasn't supposed to do that. If you got sick on the Sabbath, you were just out of luck. If you died, well, you know, too bad. But it's the Sabbath. We can't do anything about that. Jesus served others on the Sabbath. He worked for good on the Sabbath. That's another way to understand Sabbath. To do something for somebody else other than yourself. And it's good for us to do both, isn't it? For as Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for the good of human beings, not the other way around. So, whatever you do this summer, remember the Sabbath in both of the ways that it's defined. For it is God's gift to us, one of the many, but a wonderful gift. For our good and the good of us all. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.